The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Before we start the show, let me introduce my guest co-host, Mr. Darwin Thompson. Good yawning this morning, Darwin.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
Good, good. Just a little tired, but I'm good.
Good, good. Well, it's Wednesday, the 21st of July, 2021, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. I want to thank my producer for finding that song so quickly for me. Independence Morning is like a baby born in. And I know a lot of y'all is make fun of that song, right? But I got a lesson for us today. There are lessons to learn in everything, even in this song that we like to make fun of. Now, if you 45 like me, you grow up, you know this song. This is a ZNS staple, a regular. This is Bahamian tradition. But I want to explore something else right in the title, right at the beginning. Independence morning is like a baby bornin'. Now watch this. You know what I felt after yesterday's show, thinking right about this song? Every independence morning is an opportunity for rebirth of our nation, an opportunity to redefine who we are, where we're going, what is of value and importance to us. Right. In fact, I think it's an obligation, right? Mm-hmm. It's an obligation to take on the task of assessing whether we have captured everybody into the family called Bahamian, whether we have captured every sentiment, every spirit, every important thought in what it means to be Bahamian. Now, I want to say, yesterday, I had Shelley Moss on the show and asked the question and attempted to answer the question, is the Bahamas independent? And I'm going to tell you, I feel bad. I want to apologize to my audience members. I feel like I left y'all in the lurch. I feel like I left y'all with a whole bunch of heavy thoughts and uncomfortable feelings. And that may have been irresponsible of me. But let me tell you why. For many Bahamians, their identity and the national identity are firmly rooted in the journey to independence. Right, right. And in the process of taking over governance. And what if we are an independent nation? Because the Bahamians that committed themselves to building the country were building an independent country. Because the psyche of the country at the time and the people who committed to being it, not just being a part of it, sitting on the fringes, catching a check, but being it, right, were independent psychologically, mm-hmm, right? Or socially. But what independence meant then, what it meant to Bahamians at the time, is different from what independence means now and what it means to Bahamians today. And it is important to note, older Bahamians, that that is your experience, not our experience. Mm-hmm. And if we are unwilling to even have the conversation about what independence means and whether we are actually independent, well, trust me, these young people, they have a different idea and a different concept of what it means to be Bahamian.
That's right.
And what it means to be independent. And they're going to leave this place. People, they are going to leave this place.
Right.
I want to have Chelly Moss back on to continue the conversation. Because it's not finished. I hope I indicated that clearly in yesterday's show. Sometimes I take on what appear to be heavy subjects in people's in such a short amount of time. But the intent is to extend the conversation. In fact, the true intent is to encourage you to extend the conversation in your space with your people, with your perspective,
right.
Not with mine.
Leave you thinking.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't have the answers. What I'm trying to do is encourage you to figure out how many questions there are. Mm-hmm. Like that's where we start. Also, you know, I entertained a lot of the audience members yesterday because I wanted to hear from them. You know, just in my opening, right? We want to better understand the impact of social and consumer trends, right? We want to talk to ordinary people. I wanted to hear what other people had to say.
Right.
And while it appeared to be on the surface an intellectual, you know, or a high-end conversation, that doesn't mean that people that don't, you know, hang out in that intellectual talky-talky space, it doesn't mean that they don't have something of value to add to the conversation. And so this is this thing. There are lessons to learn in everything. It's just a matter of whether you're willing and open and ready to learn and be enlightened. But I tell you what I learned yesterday. I learned yesterday that the political discourse, like the political framework, that a lot of us are still caught in that. Like we only sort of see the politics in the issue.
Right.
Or maybe it's that, you know, during the independence conversation, Darwin, I talked about how it felt like the political imagination and the religious imagination are leading all the conversations in this country.
Definitely how it feels, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if we don't get, if we don't insert other frameworks for understanding the space, we will forever be caught up in the political and religious imagination. Right now, this becomes a problem because, or at least let me say, here's an example mm-hmm. of where this becomes a problem. In today's Guardian, we have the Minister of Health making a statement about the holiday spike, that's what the headline says, holiday spike.
Right. Wells,
recent rise in COVID numbers likely linked to independence gatherings. Well, I want to say this. I could be honest with you. Isn't it possible that they're likely linked also to an increase in campaigning activities and events? Is that possible? Is it possible that people that understood the nature of the COVID protocols for the holiday weekend took advantage of political activities?
Right. It's also very clear that the influx of tourists that may have gotten their vaccines but still have or carry COVID-19 also contributes to this issue.
Right.
Right.
Right. So there you go. Is it possible that the holiday spike is linked to an increase in cross-border traffic
mm-hmm.
and engagement, local engagement with tourists.
Right.
All of these things are possible. But this is what happens when we allow the political imagination to lead every single conversation.
And it's like decisions are primarily driven by that imagination, that or the religious imagination. And it's truly making us suffer. It's putting us in a position to where now every day we're talking about lockdowns, we're talking about closing the country down. But the first thing we have to look at is the tourist numbers, right?
Yeah.
That spike in tourism, that increase in people coming in without having to show a PCR test, without having to show anything, those persons very well carry the Delta variant or other variants.
And so what I was concerned about in that decision is, why did you decide to not test people?
Exactly.
Even if you didn't test them on immediate arrival, or you didn't test them in the airport in their where they embarked, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Surely you want to test them before they leave the country.
Exactly.
To get a sense of what's happening. But listen, I got a couple of texts. I got a really fascinating text.
Yes.
I got a caller on the line. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the caller, and then we're going to take a break. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to come back, and we're going to get to this text and more of what's in the headlines. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, this is Dr. Voice Cloud, your guest.
Good morning, Bremen. Morning. How are you?
I'm holding, thank God.
Blessings.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Are you not being insulted by you or our country being defined as independent when you got the understanding that the crown are still here?
It ain't even just that. It's this. We've had three referendum exercises, including a whole campaign to engage Bahamians about what they think should be changed, right? Uh-huh. And nobody saw fit to change the wording in Articles 71 and 63.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, like they say, a lot of Bahamians doesn't read, but those who, what they would call the intelligentsias, they supposed to know to fix it. So they be joking because they're not trying to educate the people. And knowing that they know better, they are lying to the public.
Well,
I disagree with that one.
Why? And they're defining us as being independent. What do you mean you disagree?
Now, Bremen, you're a little hot this morning. I have the same passion as you, but it'd be easy with my boy.
No, let me tell you why I disagree, because Erin Green is right here doing it. She's right there doing it every day. I mean, if you listen to the radio and the show, you'll see that Erin Green does that every day.
You didn't listen to my sentence. I say the intelligentsia.
Now, Bremen, look here, how I have to cut you.
But no, what I meant is the.
I know what you mean, Bremen. Okay. You don't watch nothing. I appreciate the position that you're laying down.
Yeah.
And I think you guys are sort of speaking at odds, right?
Right.
I agree, Bremen.
No, you're valid. You're valid.
I think that the legal community, what we call the jurists, right? That's
okay. Thank you, Abai. You're God.
Yeah, man. Thank you, Bremen. Thank you. It's a good position you lay out, man.
Just playing devil's advocate, man.
I think that there is a community of people that paint themselves as the intelligentsia and give us the impression that because of their superior intelligence or their capacity to produce things, however they produce them, that they should be making the decisions, right? Because y'all don't want to inform your opinion. You don't want to read. You don't want to learn nothing. Mm-hmm. So we could do it for you.
Yeah.
That's a persistent, I mean, that's prevalent,
yes.
You know, in this place. And if you're going to take on that attitude, then surely you should see yourself as having an obligation, a role in society, to help others become more informed.
Right.
So I feel that position, you know, Bremen. But listen to what my brethren's saying.
Yeah.
What my brethren's saying is, when we ask the question, are we independent, can we look at members of society who have been marginalized visibly in some way,
right?
Understanding that everyone can experience privilege and oppression at the same time, right? Because a privilege. But look at those people in society who have decided, well, even if my country ain't independent, I will act and carry on in the spirit of independence.
Right.
And I will do what needs to be done, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are these two positions, and it's a position that I laid out. Are we independent because the paper says we're independent? Mm-hmm. Or are we independent because we live independent? and we entrench the principles of independence, not in our constitution, but in our everyday lives.
Exactly.
Kermit, let's take a pause here. Let's go to a break. When we get back from the break, caller, I'm going to get to you. I'm going to get to this text and some of the other questions I have for you this morning and some questions for myself, too. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Census 2021 for your family line. You better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The ones that don't fall to. The count depends on you. So tell Ted to go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Census 2021. This one's for everyone.
It's happening. And it's all straight talk with no chaser. As Stephen Miller is unleashed on your radio each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's going to be smart talk, ideas, and innovation. Each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., only on Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Trust me. You're not going to want to miss this.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bala Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior's phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want to find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons?
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Independent Bahamas, 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 independent Bahamas, Bahamas,
for independence is glorious.
Independent Bahamas, 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 independent Bahamas, Bahamas, Bahamas.
Good morning, Bahamas, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are tuned into On the Clock with Aaron Green and my guest co-host, Mr. Darwin Thompson. Now, see, this is what I mean. Let me tell you what I mean. Dear Bahamas, dear older Bahamians, dear people my age, when that song Independent Bahamas come on or Independence Morning, I have a like a visceral, I don't know if that's the exact word, but there's a reflexive response in my body because those songs are tied to memories and experiences, right? Mm-hmm. That I didn't realize how important they were gonna be when I was having them. Now, here's the thing. It's important for older Bahamians to be able to provide these moments for younger Bahamians, right? Like an opportunity for them to have a cultural or a psychological or an emotional connection, a positive one, to their own country.
Right.
Without the fear that these young people, culture, and power will eventually consume and drown out the things that you think are important to you.
Right.
This thing have to be a process, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I said earlier that time, that journey to independence, that's y'all time.
Right.
That ain't our time. See, here's what it is. Is that in every time, in every moment, we have to be able to accommodate each other and the desire to preserve culture and history and the overwhelming desire, like natural biological desire, to create new things, to birth new ideas, cultural practices, and beliefs. And so the key is not to say, well, we are millennials and they are old heads and the old heads will die out. That is not the correct answer.
Right.
The correct answer is, how do we move forward and accommodate the what we feel are the most important things mm-hmm. from each generation, from each moment, from right. each movement, right? So my daddy, who these cousins with Carter, Cody's, Carter them, right? My daddy always had them tape. And guess what? Some of them tape had the little words and little content. It was old, too old for me, you know. Mm-hmm. But because I had access to those tapes, I have a connection, like the African ancestral practice of right. burying your navel string.
Right.
I have that type of connection mm-hmm. with Bahamian music.
Right.
So this independence thing, we have to figure out how to accommodate what right. we all value most as we move forward together.
And you know something, Aaron? I want to mention this book called The Power of Habit.
Uh-huh.
In Bahamian society, if you watch and you see and you observe generally how young versus old people behave in social context, in driving, just driving yeah. on the road, you'll see that the habits that were developed by older generations, created and fostered and made to become this culture, are carrying on to us. And it's usually the most negative aspects of that culture and that history. And so where is the adjustment for that negativity, for that negative history, for that negative culture? Where are the, air quotes, old heads that speak about where these habits came from, why it is that
we did
this.
Who are willing to
this.
Acknowledge that these things didn't start in our generation. And exactly. they may not even have started in your
yes.
generation.
Right.
But they've been passed on. And it's the allowing it to be passed on is where the negligence
that's
sits.
That's where the problem is.
Yeah.
Right.
Awesome, babe. So anyway, dear callers, I come into you right now. I have something very important I have to do. Let me quickly get to the 2021-2022 annual budget bite. Do you want more information about the budget? The Ministry of Finance has updated the budget website and continues its mandate to provide Bahamians with full transparency and understanding of the annual budget. The Bahamas Budget website has everything Bahamians need to know about key priorities, initiatives, and legislative changes that will impact their businesses, their families, and their futures. So go ahead and take a look. Visit bahamasbudget.gov.bs and find out what's in the budget for you. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. And let me say, take this opportunity to sit with your children.
Yes.
Because if you sit with your children as you divulge and try to get a sense of what the national budget is saying,
right.
that's a great opportunity to explain to your children how your family budget works
exactly.
and how their personal budget can work.
Exactly.
Right? And then you could say to your children, listen, it is not me that is preventing you from having a PS5 and M&Ms for days. It is the national budget and our obligation to keeping the country afloat. I am so sorry, son. You have to eat Vienna sausage. And you could blame it on the government.
Yeah, PS5s are still $1,000. We got to wait on that anyway.
Yeah. No, it's not responsible. Personal governance.
Exactly.
Anyway, so let me get to the callers. Caller, you're on the clock.
Very good, thank you.
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Morning, dear co-host.
Good morning.
What are we talking about?
Listen, we're talking about independence. We're talking about the need for different generations of Bahamians to accommodate each other, and we also touched a bit on how it seems as if allowing the political imagination and voice to drive governance in isolation of any other sort of sectors of society may be the reason why we're seeing some of these issues that are arising in the newspaper.
And I guess the most important one would be independence, because I experienced it. Transcend from colonial
mm-hmm.
to independent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud to have that experience. So, independent as we go into our 50th year, Aaron, we must continue to expand, because in that expansion, you're a part of the 50 years. And yeah. This gentleman sounds like he's way older than him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a part of the 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's continue to plan for progress. One gentleman called in and said, let's educate the people. No, let's educate ourselves now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have educated the people in colonial to independence. We have told them that independence will be a different transformation. I asked that question when I was going to independence, colonial to independence. I asked that question to my cousin and my brother. What is independence?
Mm-hmm.
Simple. You tell me. They tell me. We're able to do our own thing. And that stick with me. And that stick with me when I travel. I travel to South Carolina, and gentlemen, hear me talking. He said, keep talking. He said, wow, I love your accent. My brother was, you know, we even go when he leave Bahamas, go to Miami. They talk American, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I never believe in that garbage.
Now, code switching has its place.
Right, that's a right.
Yeah, yeah.
But my right is, I be behemoth wherever I go. It's the reason why I do that. It's because our industry is toes up. I got to bring toys back to my country.
Mm-hmm.
Our industry is finance. I got to bring business people back to my country
mm-hmm.
to invest. So when I talk, behemoth, that guy fall in love, and he fall in love and he want to come to the Bahamas. But I asked him, do you know the behemoth, successful behemoth? I mentioned Sidney Poitier. He said, you don't know who Sidney Poitier. So I mentioned the great Michael Thompson. He said, oh, Michael Thompson, the man who was playing basketball for the NA, he was wanting to be a prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Because I know what he's talking about. But when I watch Michael Thompson, he has satellite. He has cable. So that's the history for you.
No, thank you very much.
Right, but we watch it. I mean, we saw the great Michael Thompson promoting our country.
Now, look here, I got another caller on the line.
That's my thing, Aaron, because I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we are. That's our knowledge. That's our education. Let's expand on that for 50 years.
Absolutely. I hear you. But see, I got to go, but I wanted to put out this question, not to necessarily to be answered right now. Do you feel that you are naturally compelled, like you're compelled to be an ambassador for your country? And is that because of the political voice? See, I grew up just like that, you know. Whenever I travel, and I travel plenty, I was an ambassador for the Bahamas.
Of course.
And all the things you were saying, mm-hmm. I don't change my accent. I want people to know I was a Bahamian because tourism.
Right.
But is that being driven by a political imagination, or is that being driven by a collective cultural identity?
Right. I really hope that people understand what you're saying here, right? Because it's so true that when you make the decision, especially as a young person, especially going through college, university, knowing that almost all of my friends do this, that connection to this amazing touristic product that everybody wants to see, wants to go to, is almost more important than the cultural aspect. This is my country. I love my country. No, you love my country, so I want to show you
mm-hmm.
how much you love my country by showing you what we all about. I want you to come to my country and
yeah.
spend your money. That's more so where it's deeply rooted. And you find it. You ask somebody, why do you go all out for your country? I love my country. What you love about it? Oh, well, you know, tourists and you know, and just like
yeah.
that. Like, come on, tell me what you love
about
the Bahamas. Because,
yeah.
I love the beach. I love to go to the beach. I love the hot parties from Unlimited Parties, is it? No.
No, don't call their name. Because then I'm going to have to call the name of the one I know from
right.
30 years ago.
You got
to
give something, man. You can't just say, I just love my country because. I love my country because.
And let me show you what I mean. I love my country where I was growing up,
yes.
my experiences. When you, especially if you're on the family island, when
right.
you pass people, people look each other in the face
yes.
and they acknowledge each other's presence by
exactly.
hailing or saying good morning.
Exactly.
And that's one of the reasons why, and I tell people that.
Right.
In fact, I can just say this quickly. I get some texts and then some
yes.
more callers. When I was in boarding school preparing for my A-levels,
yes.
they gave us this very, the preparatory lecture.
Right. right.
about the stresses involved in taking this exam. Mm-hmm. And they tell you the story about a young student who committed suicide in the exam room, right?
Right,
and
right.
I looked around the room and I looked at the faces and the looks of horror on these my fellow students' faces. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. as a good Bahamian, I jump up and I say, look here, ladies. Ain't nobody cheating and ain't nobody killing themselves for no exam.
Exactly.
If you fail your exam... If I fail my exam, I go into the Bahamas to go sweep the beach for Ministry of Tourism. Ain't nobody stressing out about nothing.
Exactly. And
right?
That's the culture we ain't stressing.
Right.
That's
and
a part
that's,
of it.
That's what I tell them. That's my country.
Yes.
If you need some place to be, if you're a refugee, if you are broken,
right.
the Bahamas will make sure you're safe. Exactly. That's how I grew up talking about my country.
Yeah.
Let's get to this call and then the text. Caller, you're on the line. Good morning, caller. You still there? I'm sorry we miss you, caller. Here's the text. Erin, a woman kidnaps four boys and get probation. Why are you not concerned about that? Is this gender equality? Why no outcry about unfairness? But if it were a man, sad. Well, see, first of all, here's what it is. This is an extremely serious matter.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't just about gender. This is
right.
about... mental and psychological health mm-hmm. and wellness. It's also about the lives of the victims.
And the way that we look at children as well.
Right. And so this is a serious story.
Mm-hmm.
It was dealt with seriously initially. I haven't gotten into the story yet.
Right.
But thank you for indicating to me that it's important to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
What I am trying to do is I'm trying to find industry professionals that can join me in a conversation to make sure that we have a safe and appropriate conversation about this, to make sure that we're not perpetuating any negative stereotypes about mental health and unwellness,
right? Right.
Mm-hmm. And that we are having a conversation that ultimately protects the interests of the young children and boys who are the victims. Another text, kudos to Marlene Moisey for returning to Haiti to bury her husband. She is truly a strong black woman. Yes, she is.
Mm-hmm.
And prayers to her. From all the people in the Bahamas, just in case you didn't know, I send it on your behalf. Because just to go back to Haiti mm-hmm. after having experienced, that happened to her too, you know.
Of course.
She wasn't a bystander, that happened to her. Another text, we should not have to accommodate the old mindset of colonial brainwash. The older ones need to understand that right is right and wrong is wrong. Lack of knowledge and false appreciation for lies is what blinds them. They need to appreciate and trust the youths whom have the knowledge and whom have no reason to deceive them.
Right. I could appreciate that opinion, but I think that it does have a place. And when you find that place, you realize that it's a bit more important than young people just having their way. That place is understanding the mistakes and the problems that were created by the history and the habits
right.
that were presented, and changing it and presenting your thoughts for what could have changed it in your time and why young people need to get up and fix it in their own way now.
Absolutely. We should not be hindered in our growth just because we want to give respect to their age and ignorance. Right is right. I will respectfully send out a challenge and an invite right now for anyone who would like to join me in a conversation about the tyranny of the 70 gang. But, you know, I think it's important for us to have these intergenerational
yeah.
conversations
yeah.
and for us to be vulnerable enough with each other across
exactly.
generations to have them. See, I got a caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How are you?
Yes, good morning, Nike.
Yeah,
but you know what I love about the Bahamas?
Mm-hmm.
The air I breathe.
Mm.
The water I swim in.
Yes.
On the Western Esplanade, Sanders Beach, the caves. All around, any place in the Bahamas, beautiful water. I can look down and see my foot.
Yeah.
Then I go to them other places. I look, the water look like you could walk across the Mississippi.
Yeah, we like them, but they ain't nice like us.
No, but they ain't. I went to Mississippi growing up in school. I lived this big time Mississippi River. I went down to the World's Fair one time, and the people I was with, they took me to the edge of the river. There was a big, darn warship with bar. I say, this is the Mississippi. It looked like I could walk across it. I go on the other end. It looked like a road.
Man, Sparky, look here. They can put us on the stop list, you, me and you.
But it looked like a brown,
yeah,
black road. But
yeah,
anyway, And you know, what I don't understand, but the other hammers would say they love the Bahamas so much.
Mm-hmm.
You grow up in this country all your life. They induct you into churches without your permission from a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made me an Anglican before I even know what an Anglican was. I was an Anglican, baptized, Christian, confirmed.
Let me just pause there. They are Methodist and Anglican family. Don't mind what Sparky's saying. Go on.
But then I don't know. You grow up in here going to school from mm-hmm. kindergarten all your life, and then you go to high school, senior high, junior high, all kind of thing. You leave here 20 years old. You go away for 4 years. You come back talking like an American.
Hmm.
I know friends of mine. I know a brother went up to Washington, went to Howard University, wake up there as a civil engineer, had gotten married up there and everything and all kind of thing. Dr. David Sanz, another friend of mine, went to Canada for years, specialized in everything in pediatrics. I know people went to England. They'll come back talking the same way they left.
Yeah.
You got the little fella through the Grove. He been there, didn't even go to no private school here. Gone to Miami for 3 years,
now,
come back.
Now, Sparky, you know what a part of that
He's
is?
He's American.
I hear you. You know what a part of that is? And I had a conversation with somebody yesterday who was uncomfortable, made uncomfortable by the conversation that Jelly Moss and I were having, you know. And I knew, like, in those moments how sensitive you need to be about this conversation, right? And when we say that people go away and adopt a thing that they found there, I think it's important for us to realize that those things have always been a part of them. See, because
have a good day.
Thank you, Sparky. Because of our proximity to the U.S., right? Mm-hmm. And because of our proximity to British culture mm-hmm. through colonialism, what you find is the person that goes to Britain and almost immediately picks up that British accent, they've been British from they've been in the Bahamas. And that's another reason why when we ask older generations of Bahamians, are we independent,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is not what we expect, because independent does not necessarily mean full divesting or removal from Britain mm-hmm. and British culture.
Exactly.
Because how could I take away parts of myself?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And who am I then if we do that? And I could say that because I grow up watching Yes, Prime Minister
yeah.
and Yes, Minister. Mm-hmm. And I understand how the Bahamian civil service and management at that upper echelon, how it operates
right.
because of my connection to the culture that drove the people at that time, right? And so, yeah, code switching is a thing that's powerful, and teach your children it, and don't diss it. It's a powerful tool, but at the same time, also remember that those things are also a part of who they are.
It's a part of the adaptability of human beings as well. We adapt to the environments that we go into.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the line. Good morning. Hi, sorry, caller. Let's get to this text. Miss Green, are we truly independent? I'm part of the younger generation, and I'm speaking with my fellow millennials. None of us feel this way. We are tied up in deals to foreigners that will stifle and growth for our generation and any opportunities we may have to actually be financially stable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to say, but most of us are hoping that our forefathers who are currently messing it up, sorry to be morbid, will die out or at the least retire. And this is the danger of the rigidity and the unwillingness to accommodate or even acknowledge other generations and other thought, is that people stop trying to engage with you. They just wait for you your ideas to die out. Another text. Good morning, Aaron and guests. For sure, the Bahamas has its independence like other nations, but tell me what nation is truly independent? Reality has shown us that just about, if not all, nations have alliances
right.
with each other.
I think what you're talking about, text, is interdependence, right? Because the U.S. is independent. Make no mistake about that. The U.S. is independent. Russia, Germany, Great Britain. These are independent countries. Their cultures are independent in and of themselves. They are so independent that they have millions of cultures just within one country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's normal. That's to be accepted. Most countries of scale have that going on, including the Bahamas. So I think that interdependency is very different from the independence of an entire nation. Very, very different.
Absolutely. I got some more texts. So let me get to the callers dead quick. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Aaron. How
are
you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, you know.
Good morning.
Aaron, this is such an opportune time while this is still in my mind. You know, one of the things I see we're losing, and what really frightens me is the mature women that I see this happening to. When I say mature, I'm talking anywhere between the age of 40 and 60.
Mm-hmm.
I walk every evening out east in a, to some extent, a little upper-class neighborhood. And it amazes me right up to yesterday that in walking past the many people that are walking, and a woman is coming towards you, mind you, and, you know, she's not afraid, so she's not looking away. She's looking directly in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you would say good afternoon, or you would nod your head, you know, everybody is exercising. And they would look you in your face, and they would not acknowledge that you said good afternoon to them, good evening at all. And it frightens me because these are the grandmothers. And so we are losing. I think we've become so Americanized. We go to America and no one speaks to anybody. And that same culture now seems to be permeating, because I'm saying not one, two, three, or four, but the majority of people you would walk, eyes lock on one and you say good afternoon, good evening. Mm-hmm. Or you just even just nod your head, you know, because you're walking, you're perhaps a bit tired, you nod your head for acknowledgement. And they would not acknowledge you. And I'm saying, where are we going with this?
Boy, listen, I think it's an important situation to put a spotlight on. Mm-hmm. How have we gone from communities of people that would automatically acknowledge the present, you know,
right,
people in their presence or in passing automatically as a matter of course?
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up. And
how we've gotten to this place, right? And I think it's something for you being a social scientist, right, and the advocates to get on. For young people, I can tell you what I've heard. A lot of young people are tired of engaging older people because they engage older people and older people don't say nothing to them, right? Because you young person, you're just supposed to engage us and we don't have to engage you. Mm-hmm. Young people are tired of feeling like people are talking to them but not really engaging them.
Right.
Like people are talking to them but don't really care about what they have to say, right? That's a part of it as well. For women, we're talking about women who may have dealt a lot with street harassment and street violence. So that's where you walk in, you mind in your own business. You walk in past somebody, you may look up and acknowledge them. You look at them and you nod your head and their response is, hey, plum ting, hey, sweetie in the road. Right? And you get tired of that. And so the practice becomes you just don't engage anyone.
Yeah.
But there is also this thing happening where, due to many factors and reasons, we have decided that we could just walk past somebody and pretend like they don't exist if their presence becomes a barrier, an annoyance, or a discomfort for us.
Right.
Right? So we see unhoused or homeless people or vagrants in the road, and we walk around them or we turn our head because it's uncomfortable for us to look at them.
Right.
And we've developed this thing where if it makes me feel icky or uncomfortable or annoyed, I could pretend like it doesn't exist.
And it disappears.
Right. But the point is this. Sometimes the simplest of questions are the most important questions.
Right.
And I hope that we could delve into that. Oh, boy, I got 7 minutes left. Callie, you're on the clock.
Well,
good morning.
Yes, sir. I feel that we before we were able to create our own legislation, and we can still do the same thing. So, you know, but the only difference is that we foreign affairs, you know, we can control it.
A little bit more, yeah.
And as well as, you know, the only thing I feel that the thing about this independence, we were independent from accountability.
Yeah.
You see? And pertaining to that switchability, you know, the educated folks among us, they can afford to hold on to that slang. But those of us that travel without education, you know, we gotta
right.
You know, we don't adopt immigration to pick us up.
That's right.
You know, and then the people we amount, and they're not gonna like us because you, where you coming here from? You coming here to take our jobs? The poor people we're gonna be about around.
Yeah.
So that's the issue we got there. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you. That's right. Code switching is a powerful tool that has helped the African, the black person, the African American survive in hostile environments. Mm-hmm. I got a lot more text here. Let's go. Here we go. Look, they love the country because they were born here.
If you'd like to.
And for some, this all they know. We are a nation of hyperbole. That's like hypocrisy and things that don't and exaggerating, I think. Correct me if I'm incorrect. We like to say we are the best nation in the world, that Bahamians are the best in the world. But what makes us those things? Nothing does, because we are not those things. Did someone say hyperbolic? It's like how your high school is the best just because you go there, not because of what your school has actually accomplished. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I think that if we made an assessment, right, we will find that while we are all human and ain't nothing really make us more special than other humans, mm-hmm. there are lots of things to be proud about and lots of people to be proud about in this. Like, I could just name one, Reverend Walter Hanschel, mm-hmm. who it turns out was serving not just his community, but the country while he was not well.
Right.
If that is not something to be proud about, right? Then cheapest you go home and go buy one baggie or one cup or something and chill out. Another text. Aaron, what I love about the Bahamas most is the sun. We often take this for granted, but after having traveled to parts of Europe, I will never take sunshine and good weather for granted. Then there's this sense of nostalgia in the air. It's almost surreal. A sunny day at the beach with a good drink in hand and not a care in the world in those moments is what does it for me.
And you know what's crazy? You could almost feel that moment. You could almost feel how that feels, the stress dropping off your shoulders in that moment. That's a part of what it is to be Bahamian.
Uh-huh. Miss Green, that last texter does not speak for all millennials. Some of us are remaining and keeping ourselves prepared for when time allows our opportunity to arise. Mm-hmm. Well, let me say this. Don't think of it as your opportunity to arise. Every moment is an opportunity for you to rise. And even if what you're doing in that moment is just sweeping the floor,
right.
Well, then I'm going to be the best beach sweeper there ever was.
Exactly.
Look here, my friends in boarding school was killing themselves laughing at me as I was doing A-level math, calculus and mechanical math, and computer science and physics. And I tell them, I will be the best beach sweeper in the world. Because even that is something to model. Because
yes.
It's about doing the best at what it is you are doing right now.
Right.
I just want to say this next thing. Your value on the planet is solely rooted in your presence. Mm-hmm. There is nothing else you need to do to prove you were worthy to be here.
Exactly.
And the same thing for a Bahamian. Mm-hmm. That you were born here, that the circumstances qualify you to be one of us. And if you like in my family, if there are two, if you got two or more Bahamian relatives, that means you is a Bahamian.
Yeah.
Right? That's all it takes.
Of course. And I look at the Bahamas as being a country where almost everybody is and can be accepted. Seeing that we're a small country, we need a larger population, especially in the outer islands, to be able to sustain any sizable economy, to get, you know, any kind of money into those economy, you need a sizable population for those places, right?
Yeah.
So we've always been a country accepting of others.
Yeah.
So that's just the Bahamas, the Bahamas' way.
Yeah. And if only we could be accepting of Chicchanis. I got a couple more texts came in. Hi, I hope these candidates see the stress people go through just to vote for them.
Yeah.
So they can crease up in the Queen's House of Assembly. Boy, yeah, candidates, yeah. I hope you all hear the people talking to you.
I know I'll get scrutinized for it, but I'm not waiting in no line for 8 hours.
To go vote?
To go vote. No, I'm not doing it.
No, listen, that's not the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is why the line take 8 hours.
Exactly.
See, I'm going to wait 8 hours in the line to go spoil my ballot if I have to. If I have to, right? Yeah. The problem is why does it take 8 hours if there's only 400,000 of us? Another text. Good morning, Ms. Green. Can a married woman whose husband pay all the bills say she is independent? Yes, she can.
Abso-flippin-lutely.
What's going to stop that? Especially if her and her husband had a talk about what their relationship means to them.
And that's
why it's important to talk.
Yeah.
Younger people need to know what independence means to older generations of Bahamians. Right. And older generations need to know what it means to younger Bahamians. Right. Last text, and then we got to get out of here.
Yes.
Tell your caller good morning and good afternoon is loose language. It's like the language of the Aztecs. If you are a mango, don't engage people in conversation. You will get harassed. Is a mango a synonym for a conch? Right? And dear Bahamians, when we start calling each other conchs, that means we have a serious problem. Dear young people, that's your own indicator that it is time to start thinking about strategizing and organizing around your needs, your wants, and your desires.
Right.
Don't never let nobody call you a conch. You could let them call you a mango, because mangoes are the most beautiful things on the planet, but not no conch. Anyway, thanks for tuning in this discussion. Thank you to my guest co-host, Mr. Darwin Michael Thompson. You've been on the clock with Aaron Green. Please stay tuned because Levon Miller and Unleash is up next. Have a wonderful day, Bahamas, whether you're independent or not.